Good afternoon, everyone. In my role as the clerk for the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry, who is conducting the service of induction this afternoon here at St. John's, one of the final bits of paperwork that has to be done is the reading of the Edict of Induction one final time. Those of you who have been present in worship know that it was read on Sunday, November the 3rd, and also Sunday, November the 10th, and no objections were raised, and therefore the Presbytery has met this afternoon and has continued with the necessary steps towards induction, with this one being the final step. So I will now read the edict one more time and then pause at the end in case anybody has an objection, and then I will go down and report that all is good to the members of the Presbytery and we can proceed with the service. So the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry, having completed the necessary steps for the induction of the Reverend Robert L. Adams, B.A., B.Ed., M.Div., called to be minister of this congregation, notice is hereby given that the said presbytery will meet in St. John's Presbyterian Church, Cornwall, on the 17th day of November in the year 2019 at 3 o'clock afternoon for the purpose of inducting him into the said congregation. And notice is hereby given to all concerned that if any of them have any objection to offer to the life or doctrine of the said Robert Adams, they may repair to the presbytery, which is to meet at the time and place aforesaid, with certification that if no valid objection be then made, the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry shall proceed without further delay. Hearing no objections, I will go downstairs to where the Presbytery is meeting and let them know that we can indeed proceed with the service of induction. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Let us worship God. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. The gifts he gave us were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Our first hymn is number 13, Ye Gates, Lift Up Your Heads on High. Join together in prayer, let us pray. Worthy of praise from every mouth, of confession from every tongue, of worship from every creature, is your glorious name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God forever. God our Father, we look to you as our Creator, and we rejoice that you persevere with our waywardness. And by your grace and by your compassion, you reach out to us in love through Jesus, your Son. Heaven and earth are filled with your praises. and we would add our voices to the host of heaven as they proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with your glory." Risen, reigning Jesus, in you the past, the present, and the future are brought together in one great hope that you will come again. Meanwhile, we rejoice in you, in the grace you extend to us and the promise of the life everlasting. Visit us now with your presence as we gather in this sanctuary to seek to promote your work of your kingdom through the induction of Robert Adams as a minister of this pastoral charge. Renew our commitment to serve you. Holy Spirit, as you have led us this far in our search for a new pastor, we rejoice in your continuing leading, encouraging us and helping us to tackle the work before us with enthusiasm, which our forebears had when they founded this congregation so many years ago. Lord, we confess our sins before you. We acknowledge faults and failures, and we ask for forgiveness for every foolish word, every godless act, every neglect of human need, every arrogant assertion of our own rights and our own goodness. We confess that we have ignored your nudging and promptings. We have neglected our neighbors' needs, their worries and concerns. We have not resisted the call to conform to the norms of society. And we have resisted the call to be transformed by the renewing of your spirit. We want signs and wonders to convince us. And when we get them, we are not satisfied. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse and renew us. In your love, set us free to respond to your call. Fit us to be your people and worthy of our calling to be your daughters and sons. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who himself taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and glory, forever and ever. Saying is true and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone. The new life has been begun. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And so let us turn to our hymn books, number 683. I know not how, why such wondrous love to me God has made known.
Reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. It can be found on page 191 of your Pew Bible. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our God, Jesus Christ. For we have heard of you and your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel, that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it, and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power. May you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. The second reading is from John chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished to. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate that the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, follow me. This is the word of the Lord.
Good afternoon. We are the body of Christ. Look around. We are the body of Christ, called by Jesus to be his disciples and his followers, and to meet together to worship. For he has called each one of us through his word to follow him and to be part of this wonderful body of believers. And today we are here for a special reason, to celebrate the induction of the Reverend Robert Adams into this congregation. And even though some of us may not be from this congregation, we come from afar, but we're still family. We're still people who have been touched by the love of God, forgiven by Jesus Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and are here today to worship. We've already done some of that. That's one of the things that sets us apart from those who don't believe. We gather to worship. It's one of those great things that we do. And we sing hymns. It's always nice when we come to presbytery gatherings because the singing is a bit more robust sometimes than in our own congregations. And so it's wonderful to gather together and to sing the hymns and to hear the organ bellow out those notes. We pray together. We have a faith. We've been given a faith in God to be able to pray and believe that God hears us. We wouldn't do it if we did not believe that. And so we bow and we pray before God. We have fellowship together. The fellowship of worship. The fellowship of food. We all love that one. But in our worship, then comes the place for the sermon, for the message, for the opening of God's word unto the people. When I was in seminary, my preaching class had a three-hour session with Marshall McLuhan. Remember him? The medium is the message. And during that three-hour seminar with Marshall McLuhan, he told us of a study that he did about Christians. This was back in the 70s. And the study showed that one of the reasons that some people come to church is to be alone. No phone to answer, no one to bother them, to sit and to sort of put a wall up and just be alone. So some people come to church, they don't want to hear anything, they don't even want to hear the sermon, so they put this wall up, and so they sort of tune out. Sometimes when a sermon starts, you start to listen, and then you start to daydream. Anybody ever daydream during a sermon? Everybody. Who hasn't? Right? You start off and you listen, all of a sudden, away you go. You're off somewhere, right? Maybe some of you have gone there already. Come back. Come back. I heard the story about the man who used to play a round of 18-hole golf during the sermon. And during one sermon, the minister pounded the pulpit and he missed his shot and he got all upset. So some people daydream. Other people catch up on their sleep. We've all seen it, right? We've all seen these clergy. We've all seen people with their eyes closed. In my very first church, there was a lady who sat at the very back of the church one Sunday, and she had a hymn book in her hand, and she fell asleep. And the hymn book fell out of her hand and smacked on the floor. And, of course, everybody turned around with her waking up. She never held a hymn book again during the sermon. My favorite is a friend of mine who's an Anglican priest. He's now in the States. He was preaching one Sunday, and his young son, who was 5 years old, stood up halfway through the sermon, looked at his dad and went like this, and walked out of the church. We are here because we love God. We are here because Jesus Christ has touched us. And we have determined that we are going to follow him. You have called the Reverend Robert Adams to be your minister of word and sacrament. And you're going to hear many sermons from him. You're going to hear sermons of comfort. They will comfort you. Sermons that might challenge you. Sermons that might affirm what you already believe. Sermons that might stretch your faith. But you'll hear the word of God. And that's what everybody needs to hear, is the word of God. Now, every once in a while, there'll be a bomber. Right? Every minister doesn't. There's not a good sermon all the time. Maybe you've never had one that's bombed. But we all have them. We think they're the worst sermon. But you know what? Sometimes when it's the worst sermon, people come and say, "Oh, I love that. That was terrific. That was inspirational." It happens. And so don't tune out when he stands up here. Don't tune out. Don't daydream. Don't go to sleep. Don't walk out. Because when we come to worship, I believe God has something for each one of us. For each one of us to take home with us. It could be during a hymn, it could be during a prayer, it could be during the scripture reading, it could be during a sermon. Look for that. Look for that one thing, at least one thing that God might have for you, and then you can daydream in it if you like for a few seconds. You can ponder it. But when the Word of God is presented, there's a reason why we're here. God will send you home with something that you didn't have when you walked in. I began a new ministry September the 1st in Spencerville and Prescott. It's exciting to begin a new ministry in a new place. So next week you begin? Robert's beginning next week. It's exciting to come to a new community, to learn new traditions, to meet new people, and to begin to intersect with the people. Because we have the privilege of meeting and being in people's lives unlike any other profession. We see people in the joys and the wonderful times. We also see them in the dark times, the difficult times. The gospel lesson that was read this afternoon, I'm going to back up a bit to the disciples are standing around and they don't know what to do. They're waiting for something to happen. And so, when you don't know what to do, often you will do something you know how to do. And so, the scripture says that they were standing around, and Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing." I'm not going to waste any more time. Let's go fishing. So a few of them went out and they went fishing. That's what they knew what to do. They knew the right spots. They knew the right bait. They knew the right timing. And they fished. And they fished all night and there was nothing. They tried everything. Now, I believe that fishermen are the worst liars. How big was that fish? Well, he was, you know. So the next morning, there's a man on the shore, and the man said, "Hey, did you catch any fish?" They were smart enough to say, "No, we didn't catch any fish. All night we've been out here, no fish." And he says, "Throw your nets on the other side. Throw your nets on the other side." Now these fishermen, I mean, they didn't recognize who he was. Who's this guy telling us to put our nets on the other side? And they pull in this lot of fish, and Jesus has the fish cooking, and they have a meal together. They recognize who he is, and they have a meal together. It's following that that Jesus talks to Simon Peter. Peter, who's denied Jesus three times. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" What could he have meant? Could he have meant the fishing gear, the life of fishing? Do you love me more than this life of fishing? Could it have been, do you love me more than all these disciples around me? Do you love me more than all the people who are following me? Or could it mean, do you love me more than the life that you have already left for me, but you've fallen away? Do you love me more than the life that you've given up for me, but you had a slight little blip when you denied me? And of course, Peter responds, "Lord, you know I love you." Can we all say that? "Lord, you know I love you." When's the last time you told the Lord you loved him? "Lord, you know that I love you." And he says, "Feed my lambs." So I'm going to take this literally about feeding lambs. Lambs are baby sheep, new sheep. And I'm going to suggest that, Robert, one of the things that you are called to do here is to nurture the young in the faith, to nurture the young people, to help them to grow and to give them wisdom and knowledge and way to live the world. And the young people, or even the older people who are young in their faith, to teach and nurture them because they need it. They need the gentle leadership and nurturing of a pastor who knows his God and knows how to do that. Feed my lambs. Nurture the young. For the young are the present and the future of the church. And then Jesus comes to me and he says again, "Simon, do you love me?" And Simon answers, "Of course, yes, I love you. Take care of my sheep. Take care of my sheep." This is the pastoral work of ministry, I believe. We are to care for the flock. And one of the ways I've discovered, I'm old school, one of the ways I've discovered in taking care of the flock is to get to know the people, to get out there and visit them. Find out what their struggles are, what their spiritual questions are, to get into their homes and get to know them and to rejoice with them in all the things that they have to tell us. Over my years of ministry, I've come across some colleagues who say they don't visit. They never visit. And so I ask them the question, "Well, what do you do? Doesn't take you 45 hours to write a sermon." At least it shouldn't. What do you do if you're not out with your people? I'm not going to tell you their answers. Come on. Well, one of the answers is they get involved in all the committees they can get involved in. In all the, so they're always on committees, always working on committees, whether it be nationally or synod, they're always busy on committees. That's one of them. Did you ask for it? But I believe that taking care of our flock is one of the most important things that we do. Knowing them, loving them, showing them the love of God, taking care of our sheep, taking care of our flock. And then a third time, Jesus says, Simon, do you love me? And the scripture says, Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. But then there's this little part in the middle about how he's going to die. But if you read it with the last part included, it says, feed my sheep and follow me. Feed my sheep and follow me. People are starving for the word. They're starving for the truth. And they will listen to every word you say. And they will bring it into themselves. And they will watch how you live. They watch how we live. And they will want what we have. They will want the faith that you have. They will want the spirit that is in you. They will want to follow you. One more thing. A story of a minister. He used to go to his study early in the morning, close his door, and he'd get down on his knees and pray for 1 hour. Every morning he did this. Went to his study, got down on his knees, and prayed for 1 hour. One morning, his secretary came in early. She saw the light on in his office, didn't even knock, opened the door, saw him on his knees, and immediately said, I'm glad that you're not busy. There's some things you need to attend to. I'm glad you're not busy. If the minister's not going to pray for the people, who's going to? If the minister's not going to pray for the church, who's going to? If the minister's not going to spend time with God to prepare his sermon or to get ready to do his pastoral work or whatever in the days ahead, who's going to? Of course, we know that the people pray. But the minister, I believe, is charged to pray. W.E. Sangster, who was a British Methodist church minister, said this. He wrote a book on prayer, and he said this. I grow more and more sure of the supreme importance of prayer. I know as a minister, I have failed my people most, not in my preaching or my pastoral work, but in my prayer. I failed my people most, not in my preaching, not in my pastoral work, but in my prayer. Pray for your people. Pray for the church. Teach them how to pray. Teach them to pray and how to pray with each other. Prayer is such an important part of the church and of ministry. Paul to the letter of the Colossians. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with knowledge. Not stop praying. Never stop praying for the people, for the church. We're called to do that. Now, you, the congregation, you have a minister who loves God and who will love you and pray for you and support you and teach you and lead you. Love and support your minister and his family. You may not always agree with them, but love and support him and his family in what they do. He's been called by God to serve you, to intercede on behalf of you. Love him and support him Every once in a while, give them a call. Hey, Reverend Robert, that was a great sermon. Give them encouragement. We need encouragement. Everybody needs encouragement. But once in a while, just pick up the phone and call the office and just say, you know, encourage them. We all need that. Carry some of his burdens. Maybe there's a particularly difficult time and you might say, hey, I'll come and visit with you. Or I'll do that prayer on Sunday. Never done one before, but I'll do that prayer on Sunday. Call him up and take he and his wife out for lunch and pay for it. Be honest with them. Be honest. In my very first church, I went for a pastoral visit. And we went through all the niceties, and then the lady says, David, I have something I have to tell you, and her husband shrunk down in his chair. And I'll never forget it to this day. She said, David, your sermons are boring. And she was right. They were. And I went home and I said to my wife, I'm going to quit and join the CNR. But it was the start. It was an awakening for me to realize that her honesty started me on a path to try and not have a boring sermon. So be honest. We can take it. Our feelings get hurt. But be honest. Pray for your minister. Pray for him every morning. Pray that God would protect him, that God would guide him, that God, as he prepares his sermon, that the Holy Spirit would infuse the truth into his words. Hold him up in your prayers. Because we all need it. Pray for him. Pray with your minister. There's nothing so wonderful as 15 minutes before a service starts to have a couple elders or a couple of people from the church come to you and say, hey, can we pray with you right now before the service? If you don't do it, try it. Can we pray with you? If you don't do it, try it. I'm going to conclude with the verses from Colossians. I'm just going to read them that they would fill us with the truth that they speak. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom he has redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us stand together and repeat the Apostles' Creed. Christians, what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God.
And he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Your offerings, there we go. You're invited to make your offerings. Note that the offering received today will go towards PWS&D. It's in honor of the 40th anniversary of our involvement with the refugee program. Thank you. Father, for the blessing of this time and this place, we do give you thanks. Returning unto you, these are gifts and offerings. May they be used to support the work of Presbyterian Word Service and Development and help us further our mission in the world. We offer it in Jesus' name. Amen. We now turn in our books of praise to our hymn number 582.
Moderator, the steps leading up to this service of induction of the Reverend Robert Adams into ministry in the congregation of St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall began in February of 2016. At that time, the presbytery resolved to dissolve the pastoral tie between the former incumbent, the Reverend Ruth Draffin, and the congregation of St. John's Church. Reverend Samer Candelaft was appointed interim moderator. In July 2016, the Reverend Ian Johnson agreed to serve the congregation as interim minister and was appointed such by the presbytery. In June of 2017, the Reverend Candelaft resigned as interim moderator and the Reverend Robert Martin was appointed in his place. In preparation for asking permission to proceed to call in a new minister, the work of revising the roll was completed, and the membership was reported at that time to be 282 members, and 131 adherents with 56 children. Subsequent to that, new elders were elected to the Kirk session and the role was again revised. With the closing date of the interim minister's two-year contract coming to the end of June 2018 and the possibility of the congregation being without a regular minister for more than a year, the Kirk session agreed unanimously to request that the presbytery extend Reverend Ian Johnson's contract for the period of 1 year in order to continue the work of reconciliation and maintain the goodwill being created, and this was granted. At the request of the Kirk session, presbytery granted permission to proceed with the task of seeking a new minister for the congregation. A search committee was formed in April and held its first meeting in May, and Cynthia Sagan was appointed convener of the search committee. A congregational profile was prepared, approved by the Kirk session and also by presbytery. The congregation was surveyed, following the instructions and the guidelines for calling a minister from the church offices in Toronto. A notice of the vacancy was placed in the church on the church's website and also in the Presbyterian Connection newspaper. Profiles were received, studied, prayed over, and a lead of three ministers were chosen. After viewing the three ministers on Skype, speaking with those whose names were given as references, and a visit to the congregation by a member of the committee, it was unanimously agreed to ask the Reverend Robert Adams and his wife Colleen to come to Cornwall for a further interview. The search committee unanimously agreed that with his consent, we recommend that the Kirk session of St. John's ask him to preach for a call. Moderator, the Adams came to Cornwall on the evening of the 25th of July and had time to explore the area the following morning. That evening, they were able to meet some of the members at a congregational dinner held at the Ramada Inn. And on the following day in the morning, the Reverend Adams had a chance to meet the Kirk session and then to meet informally with members and adherents on the Saturday afternoon. Robert Adams preached for the call on Sunday morning. After worship and lunch in the Caldwell Hall, the congregational meeting was called to order by the interim moderator and constituted with prayer. The motion from the Kirk session that we proceed to the call was put to the meeting and agreed. A second motion that the name of the Reverend Robert Adams be inserted in the call was put to the meeting. It was agreed that this vote be taken by secret ballot. Ballots were distributed to the members. They were tallied. The vote was unanimous in favor of the Reverend Robert Adams. Members and adherents were encouraged to sign the appropriate call or concurrence sheets before they left. The elders then contacted members and adherents not present at the congregational meeting for their input. The call document was then presented to the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry for their consideration. On the 28th day of August in the year of our Lord, 2019, the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry met in emergent session and received and considered the call to Robert Adams. The interim moderator certified that out of a total number of 275 professing members of St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, 166 themselves subscribed to the call. He further certified that 88 adherents signed in concurrence to the call in favor of the Reverend Robert Adams. Moderator, the call to Robert Adams was then transmitted to the Presbytery of Huron Perth, where he was a member on their constituent roll. The Presbytery of Huron Perth met in special session on the 17th day of September in the year of our Lord, 2019, and received and considered the call. They resolved that the call received be sustained as a gospel call and placed in the hands of Robert Adams, who accepted the call on the spot. A certificate of transfer from the constituent role of the Presbytery of Huron Perth was subsequently issued, transferring the care of Robert Adams to the care of the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry and commended to the confidence of the court, effective November the 15th, 2019. An emergent meeting was called by you, moderator, for this day and in this place for the purpose of conducting the service of induction. The edict announcing the intention of the Presbytery to proceed with the induction was read at this church, as directed by the Presbytery, on Sunday, November 3rd and 10th, as well, the edict was read one final time prior to the beginning of this service of worship. And no valid objections have been raised with the presbytery following any of these readings. So therefore, moderator, these being the narration of steps, I now present to you Robert Adams and ask you to proceed with the induction.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, listen now to what the Presbyterian Church in Canada believes concerning Christian ministry. Robert, it is this to which you will give your pledge as a minister of word and sacraments. All ministries of the Church proceed from and are sustained by the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our prophet, priest, and king, the minister of the covenant of grace. By the operation of God's word and spirit, the Church is gathered, equipped, and sent out to participate in this ministry. All members of the Church are called to share the gospel with the world and to offer to the Father the worship and service that are due to the Creator from the creation, through Christ the only mediator until he comes again. That the Church may be continually renewed and nurtured for ministry, Christ furnishes the Church with pastors and teachers. He requires and enables the Church to discern and to confirm by ordination those whom he calls to this pastoral and teaching office. The standards of his Church he entrusts in a special degree of responsibility to their care. Presbyterian Church in Canada is bound only to Jesus Christ, the King, the Church's King and Head. The Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, as the written Word of God, testifying to Christ the living Word, are the canon of all doctrine by which Christ rules our faith and life. We acknowledge our historic continuity with the Holy Catholic Church and our doctrinal heritage in the ecumenical creeds and the confessions of the Reformation. Our subordinate standards are the Westminster Confession of Faith as adopted in 1875 and 1889, the Declaration of Faith Concerning Church and Nation of 1954, Living Faith, Foi Vivant, as adopted in 1998, and such doctrine as the Church in obedience to Scripture and under the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit may yet confess in the Church's continuing function of reformulating the faith. All these things you have examined and are ready to accept. Being assured of your faith in Christ and your love for people, the Presbytery is prepared to induct you into ministry in this place. That your faith may appear in the presence of God and the people of God, we now ask you the appointed questions in terms of this preamble. Do you believe in God the Father, made known in his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom the Holy Spirit witnesses in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments?
I do.
Do you accept the subordinate standards of this Church, promising to uphold this doctrine under the continual illumination and correction of the Holy Spirit speaking in Scriptures?
I do.
Do you accept the government of this Church by sessions, presbyteries, synods, and general assemblies? Do you promise to share in and submit yourself to all lawful oversight therein, and to follow no divisive course, but to seek the peace and unity of Christ among your people and throughout the Holy Catholic Church?
I do.
Do you promise in the strength and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to conduct yourself in your private and public life as becomes his gospel? And do you give yourself diligently and cheerfully to the service of Christ's word, sacraments, and discipline, for the furtherance of his reconciling mission in the world?
I do.
May the Lord bless you and give you grace to fulfill these vows. Amen. To the congregation of St. John's Presbyterian, I would ask you to stand as I ask you the following questions. The induction of a minister is the beginning of a new partnership in service to God. And these questions, therefore, I direct to you so that you may renew your commitment to this shared ministry. Do you confess anew your faith in one God, who is creator and ruler of the universe, who came to us in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and who remains present among us through the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you receive Robert Adams to be your minister as from Christ? Will you give of your substance as the Lord prospers you for the maintenance of the Christian ministry and the furtherance of the gospel in this place and throughout the world? Do you pledge yourselves to be co-servants with your minister under Christ, sharing in the worship of the Church, offering support through prayers and friendship,
announcing the gospel to the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you and give you grace to fulfill these vows. Amen. Make sure I'm on the same page here. It calls for silent prayer before the prayer of induction, so that was my opportunity to check my notes. Let us pray. Praise be to you, God of creation. By your power, you created the universe to be a witness to your glory. And by your love, you became flesh and lived among us in Jesus Christ, to redeem your people and to establish your kingdom on earth. And by your Spirit, you sustain and nurture your people and your purposes among us. We praise and glorify your name, O God, because you have formed throughout the world a church to be your chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation to declare the praises of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now we give you thanks for your servant Robert, who has been called and ordained to serve you and the church as a minister of word and sacraments, and who has been called to minister among these people. May the words he speaks in preaching and teaching be your word in Christ. May the sacraments he celebrates be lively signs of your presence among these people who have made covenant with you through Christ. May the qualities of compassion and discernment that mark his life among these people show forth your love in Christ from day to day. As we pray for your servant Robert, so too, O Lord, we pray for every minister and elder. May they reach out the hand of friendship, care, and affection to one another. So may Robert realize that he stands not alone, but is surrounded by co-workers in Christ, in whom he may find understanding, support, and guidance. We give you thanks, O God, for the people of this congregation. May they always remember their part in the ministry you have given to them and to all believers. Give to them high expectation that by the power of your transforming grace, they will be renewed in their love for Christ, for one another, and for the whole world. May Robert and the people of St. John's congregation grow together as members of one body in Christ, rooted in the gospel, abounding in hope, steadfast in service. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit belong glory and honor, worship and praise, now and forever. Amen. There's a further prayer here, a reminder to the fact that we are called to a common ministry as ambassadors of Christ, and that we are given the trust of a message of reconciliation. So may we find courage and discipline to follow where the servants of God will rightly lead us, so that together, congregation and clergy may declare the wonderful deeds of God and show God's love to the world as shown to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Robert, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only King and Head of the Church, and by the authority of the Presbytery of Seaway, Glengarry, I now declare you to have been inducted into your ministry in St. John's, Cornwall, and admit to you to all the rights and privileges belonging to this office. And as we welcome you to share in ministry in this presbytery, we extend to you the right hand of fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The members of the presbytery will come up and offer a right hand of fellowship to Robert, and we invite any other elders and clergy in the congregation today from the local community to come up and offer the right hand as well.
go ahead.
Okay. The Reverend Robert Adams, newly inducted minister here at St. John's, will sign what is called the formula, and he will tell you what it is that he is promising to do by signing the formula.
The formula is signed by all ministers as they assume a pastoral charge. It reads, "In signing this book, I testify my adherence to those things declared and required to be accepted in the preamble and questions at the ordination of a minister."
Before we close the service today, I'm going to share with you something that someone in my congregation said today. And it's a sign of the fact that my hearing isn't as good as it used to be. At the end of the service, one of my congregation said, "Do you do any plastering?" And I thought she said, "Do you do any pastoring?" And I said, "Yes, I do a bit." She says, "No, plastering." "Oh, yes, no, I can do that too." Okay. So sometimes we're called upon to do things other than pastoring. I just have a word too to say. I want to say this, and I know I'm taking my privilege to do it. Robert, I always have an eye on you because my mother-in-law is in this congregation. And I get regular reports. I also started out here years ago as a student, and it's because of the start that I got under Fred Rennie that has led to the very varied time that I've had with different congregations. And when I first got to this presbytery, everyone said, "What is an STM? And McGill would call it one thing, but a very astute young teenager once said, "Small town minister." And that's been very true. And as much as I appreciated the start I got here, I've appreciated also the fact that I had Fred Rennie to start me out on the right path. And to everyone else who has given guidance, and that's what we want to do, Robert, is make sure that you have guidance and support and encouragement. And to remember that none of us are alone in this. We're in it together. We're going to conclude our service with a hymn, and then we're going to invite Robert to come up and offer the benediction. The hymn is 651.
Great Redeemer, welcome to this fairy. today.